Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
We're back. We're back.
We are.
It's 2022 and we're back.
Is it?
Happy New Year.
Hang on a minute. Is it really?
It is, yeah.
I tell you what, I'm ever so loud. Have you turned me up?
I'm quite loud as well.
Yeah, you are. Loud and proud, Paul Andrews. Mm. Tell you what, though.
What?
Is it really 2022?
It is. It's the year.
Of the?
No, it's the year that Mad Max was set in.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was the year of the monkey or something.
Who thought that that would come true?
Do you know, I've never seen Mad Max.
Have you not? Well, you're living in it now.
I'm a bit confused. So it was a futuristic film, was it?
It was a futuristic. Well, Mad Max.
Mind your glasses, darling.
Mad Max was released in about 1989 or something, wasn't it?
Just for the listeners, his glasses just flew off his nose.
Yeah, well,
theatre.
I'm losing so much weight on my nose.
Yeah, your nose is thin, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's 2022.
Yeah.
And we had a little week off, didn't we? Because we normally crawl back about.
We actually had 2 weeks off. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was the first week.
No, well, you were drunk. It was Christmas.
I know. In fact, you've still got a little bit of tinsel behind your ear.
Of course I have.
I can see. A bit of glitter.
No, that's tinfoil.
Why? Huh? What, you're trying to protect yourself from 5G?
Yeah, of course. I don't want any of that 5G nonsense, do I?
I tell you what, the masks are quite sinister, I think. Why can't they make them pretty? They do look. Have you seen the mask?
Which ones?
Masked.
What are the ones you wear?
I don't know what I'm talking about, mask or mask. 5G masks. No, masks.
Oh, you mean masts?
That's what I said.
No, you said masks.
Well, I've said a bit of both, actually.
Yeah,
had you been
concentrating? You're talking nonsense, aren't you?
The 5G masts.
Yeah.
Have you seen them?
No.
You have.
No, I haven't.
Then you haven't been tented in
country. No, we're still waiting for 4G. What are you talking about?
Well, I sometimes go to car parks and...
Do you? I've heard about that.
Of a day. And you've got to make money somewhere. But when you go there and you try and do your Ringo, there's no Wi-Fi.
Hold on. I'm getting terribly
not
confused.
Star.
Now. Oh, right, okay.
Your Ringo. You know, you're parking by Wi-Fi.
Oh, right, yeah.
And there's no Wi-Fi. And you're going... And you're, like, holding the phone up.
I
and
get where you're coming
hanging
from.
Hanging over the fence.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But you do have a little bit of tinsel, and we did come out the other side, and we hope everybody had a lovely, lovely Christmas, and you stayed safe, guys, and didn't choke on any mince pies or anything, because it's quite a hazard, Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you've got all your aunties on their eggnog and things and tripping over the cat.
You weren't allowed to have aunties.
You could this year.
I haven't got any.
You should adopt.
Yeah, adopt an auntie.
Yeah, adopt an auntie. But, you know, my dog, you know, the rescue
dog. Yeah, I know your dog, yeah.
Darcy, she's getting much better behaved, but she still will steal anything if she's
in the
mood.
She didn't have the turkey, did she?
We kept the turkey very high up. We had to keep it on top of cupboards and all sorts.
That must have been difficult to eat.
It was. We had ladders, you know.
Did you?
It popped up on a ladder.
Yeah, okay. How did your auntie get on with that?
Yeah, no, well, we just sat in a corner, and you know what you do with aunties. You sit them in a corner, aunties.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, can't say that anymore because you and I are about that age where we'd be sat in a corner in a chair.
I could be old auntie. I could.
Yeah, you could. Just the way you walk.
Yeah.
But it was nice, and we've come out the other side, and I was going to say something profound, but I forgot what it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really? You've put me off now. Okay. I was talking about aunties and tinsel.
Don't worry about that.
Ringo.
What we want to hear is people's tweets.
We do.
Yeah, because we've been away for 2 weeks.
Preferably work-related, not too much about aunties or tinsel. But if you want to, get it off your chest.
We will accept the odd gif. So do tweet us. Either tweet me at VanillaWeb or tweet her at Jewel Sirkin. But please use our hashtag, which is BBunker. Hashtag BBunker. I've noticed quite a few tweets on here this morning that haven't put a hashtag in, which will make it incredibly difficult for Jules to find, because she's not on the ball at the best of times.
I'm only on some balls, it depends.
Is that right?
Like glitter ball, I love.
Yeah, exactly. 80s disco.
Yeah, that is me.
Essex style.
I am, yeah over me.
The Clacton Hippodrome.
I was going to ask you another profound question, because I've forgotten the first one.
Go on.
The second one that I've thought of, just off the cuff, is who might our sponsor be in January 2022?
We've got lots of sponsors for the show. Lots
really?
Of sponsors, he says, showing off. We've got lots of annual sponsors and big new sponsors signed up for 2022.
Anal sponsors? Sorry, I missed that.
Oh,
what did you say?
We've got lots of annual sponsors.
Oh, sorry, it's the way you speak.
Don't be rude.
No, it's you Tenderton people.
Yeah.
It's your accent.
And we're going to
Poor Chris Dodds doesn't know what he's come into.
No,
does
no.
He?
Well, nor do we, to be honest. I mean,
apparently, we've had a week, 2 weeks holiday. I don't remember.
We've had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
and
that.
We're now back, and you've almost dried out from Christmas.
Well, I tell you one thing. When you're a woman, Christmas is not really a holiday, is it? You know, all the sprouts.
I wonder what you were going to say there, because that could be contentious as well.
Probably is.
Yeah.
But I've only just had my last sprouts of the season. And I said to the new husband, we popped them in a little chicken soup, because I had some left over. They were not cooked, but I popped them in the chicken soup, and they were lovely.
And I'm trying to follow this.
The Christmas sprouts.
I know what sprouts are.
Do you?
But you've made chicken soup with raw sprouts.
Yeah, if you simmer it, then they're not raw, are they?
Oh, okay.
Do you get what I mean?
No, well, the way you put it is that you had a bowl.
I don't float them on the top.
Well, I imagine you had a bowl of chicken soup that you made, and then you just went, look, instead of sprinkling pepper or salt on it, I'm going to sprinkle raw Brussels.
That'd be like chestnuts, wouldn't it?
It would.
Roasting.
Except it wouldn't taste like that at all. It tastes like raw Brussels.
No, I did simmer them, and they're very pleasant. You wouldn't have known. And I had some leftover leeks, and I popped those in, and they were not raw either.
Oh, don't talk to me about leeks.
And a bit of turmeric root.
Don't talk to me about leeks.
What's that? Oh, no, not your roof.
No. Amanda bought a leek, and she only bought it.
One leek?
Yeah, one.
Well, what are you going to do with one leek?
It looked like an oak tree. It was huge. It was one. She only bought it because it was so big. She thought it was hilarious. I bought this leek. Look, it was hilarious. It was about 3 foot long and about 8 foot wide.
Could she get it in the car?
No. We had to put it on the roof to bring it home from Sainsbury's.
It's a bit like the Christmas tree then, really.
Exactly,
you should have just popped that up instead of your black one.
Yeah, there was hardly room for the aunt.
I've never liked the black one.
Yeah. We didn't put it up this year.
To the listeners, this is a regular that he once tweeted me about 10 years ago, his new black plastic Christmas tree, and I really didn't like it or approve. But the leek would have been very eco-friendly.
Well, she bought one leek because it was huge, because she thought it was funny. And we actually had it the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
No, yesterday.
How did you have it? Roasted or?
No. We had it with salmon.
Oh,
salmon
lovely.
Fillet. Yeah. In a leek sauce.
And it was presumably bigger than the salmon.
It was, and the three of us had the one leek between us, and there was lots left over.
I think that must have been GMB or whatever they call, you know,
GMB.
Was it genetically modified?
Good morning, Britain.
I've decided that Good Morning Britain, talking about leeks, is not at all. You know how it was hailed as like being...
Yeah, it's rubbish, yeah.
It's really not, is it? I listened to it and it's all about royal family and, you know, all the usual stuff. It's not really avant-garde, is it?
Apparently Charlie upset Meghan today. Apparently.
Oh, really? What's happened? Oh, do tell.
No, it's just something I saw on Twitter.
Isn't it quite easy to upset Meghan, though?
Apparently. I don't know. Yeah. I don't follow such things.
You see, I have a feeling about Meghan, and I feel a bit sorry for Hazza, because I love Prince Harry, and I really do love the fact that he's just such a beautiful person. And I think he's fallen totally in love, and he's besotted, and he's really happy, and I'm really pleased. But I do think that Meghan has got him under the thumb.
Under what?
Under the thumb. I think he's manipulated, let's put it that way.
Oh, I don't know. I don't care, to be honest.
Should we do another show on that?
Yeah.
Oh, and I tell you what else I'd like to show you that's not very good. Zoe will get this, because Zoe Kenz is in the studio.
Mm.
She's the guru of the Twitter and social media. I've still got my Christmas nail varnish on, Zoe, just to let you know, before you cringe, it's coming off tomorrow. That's a 3-week job.
That's good, though.
Yeah, not bad. I had to file a few. You can see there's a few. That's probably gone in the turkey soup or something. But that's that hand's all right.
Yeah.
But it's
perfect.
Time to get rid of the red glitter now, isn't it?
Right.
And the roots are being done on Friday before there's any comments from Chris Dodd, you know. So lovely to have our sponsors. Are you going to reel them off?
Yeah.
How many hours have you got?
No. We've signed up for this year. I mean, we have lots of sponsors each month, but we signed up with some sponsors for the year that are also going to be providing content, which our new sponsors are Talis IFA, who are independent financial advisors, and Telford's Associates.
So it's all the money coming in, isn't it? Do you notice that?
Well, let's not get carried away.
We're not
getting any money for it.
We've got financial advisors, you've got accountants, we've got Chris Dodd. Very, very good. I'm pleased. My accounts all went through very smoothly this year.
Did they?
With a lot of nagging from my lovely accountant. He's good because I ignore his emails.
So you've done your...
I've done it all, yeah.
Your assessment and everything,
I've come through with flying colours.
Because HMRC have told us we're not going to get fined if we don't get it in by January the 31st this year. We've got a month's grace. You know why?
Why?
Well, because none of them are at work, are they?
No, no.
They're not there to sort it out anyway.
I think that's why I got away with so much.
Yeah, because they're all at home.
But, no, I like to get it in early, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
You know. Martin White, the golfer, and also lots of other things, who he's just said... he's looking forward, B Bunker. He's used the B Bunker hashtag, so he gets 58 brownie points. He says, looking forward to hearing all about your new colonic irrigation sponsors. I'm not sure he's spelt irrigation right, he's spelt, but we'll let him off because it's quite funny and very amusing.
Oh, very witty, Martin.
Yeah, very, very witty. Yeah. And Tracy Ferguson... you'll find her at Tazy64 on the Twitter. That's T-A-Z-I-64. She's the owner of Plucky's World. She is also a personal growth and a Prince's Trust mentor. Mm-hmm. Talking of Prince Charles, of course, as we were. She's based in the lovely Rochester. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. And that's P-L-U-C-K-Y-S, pluckysworld.com. And she says she's listening now because I think she wasn't able to, but now she is. She says a big hello.
She was at a meeting earlier this morning. She wasn't sure if she could get back to
and
us.
And here she is. And she says a very happy new year to Bev and Tony.
Happy New Year, Tracy. Happy New Year to Bev and Tony.
But
too.
Not us.
Chips and dinks.
No, she hasn't said Happy New Year to us, just Bev and Tony.
I don't blame her.
No, neither do I.
I had a tweet from Paragon Drones. They also say, Happy New Year. Looks like another great show for today. We would love a mention, please. And looking forward to the 2022 Cheesy Tunage.
Oh, yeah. I wonder whether I'll be able to guess it. I might have lost my touch.
You won't get this.
Thing is, you seem to now spend your evenings thinking of Cheesy Tunage that I'll never...
Exactly.
But I was listening on the way in to Gold UK, as I often do on the way in. I sort of radio surf. Mm. Dale Shannon was like Runaway. And it is just timeless. And it reminds me...
Zoe's gone blank. She don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, that was what my tweet was, Zoe. I said there's a whole generation that don't know Dale Shannon.
Oh, blimey.
And, of course, hats off to Larry. Mm. Hats off to you, Larry.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me, it takes me back to my Essex youth where you'd go on the waltzes and you'd fancy the guy that was doing the waltzes and you'd be about, I don't know, 13, 14, I don't know how old I was. And they
weren't you married by then?
No, not quite. I had a boyfriend, he had an MGB GT. Orange, really? It was, yeah. And he had an earring. My parents didn't like him.
That's got a different connotation these days, isn't it? Being an MGB DGDT, isn't it?
Yeah, could well have. It was orange.
It used to just be a car.
Yeah, very nice car. But my parents didn't like him because he had an earring and long hair.
Yeah.
But he was a builder and I was, I must have been a bit older. Anyway, so the boy on the waltzes, as you remember, they were all fairground waltzes.
This is a business show. I just remind you of this.
But, you know, when you were young on the waltzer and then he would fancy you and you'd fancy him and so he'd spin you round and you'd get the giggles and then you'd suddenly feel like vomiting because he'd just spin you round far too much.
Right.
But it kind of brings me back to that era.
And you blame Del Shannon for all of that.
Yeah, because it was always playing at fairgrounds.
Runaway.
It's got that sort of thing.
Yeah, what was the other one they used to play
on the waltzers?
On the dodgings and waltzers and stuff. That'll be the day.
That'll be the day with David Essex, which of course he did the film, didn't he, of the fairground.
Yeah,
with Ringo Starr.
Yeah. We had lunch with David one day, didn't we, in Whitstable.
Oh, yeah, we did. We loved David Essex.
Yeah.
He had a little pair of moccasins by the front door, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he owned a tapas bar there.
I've been to see him live three times.
Have you? Yeah, I'd love to see him live.
Yeah.
Well, rock on. But also... I tweeted him and said that there was no sign of him when we were eating, weren't we? Yeah. It was years ago. And I said, just a little pair of moccasins by the door of his tapas bar in Whitstable. And I said, a little whiff of his aftershave. And he tweeted me back, I don't wear aftershave. I do love him. I mean, he was a rock god, wasn't he? Beautiful.
Anyway, enough of that. I'm trying to catch up with some of these tweets. I Trust Assurance have said, could they have a shout out? Now then, I know about this. I Trust Assurance are a whistleblowing organisation, but they've produced an app which is fantastic. The app is Speak Up, and it's an engagement app that an organisation can use to get feedback from their employees. And you can get feedback anonymously, or, you know, people can choose to say who they are.
Yeah, we had we had him on the show, didn't we?
We did, but he gave me a full demonstration last week of the app, and it's brilliant. And as an organisation, I will certainly use it, because it's a great way of interacting with your employees and them feeling safe to tell you what they want to tell you without, you know, making themselves exposed open, to anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So do check it out. Follow them on Twitter. I Trust Assurance is their Twitter handle, and it's the Speak Up app that they've just released. Brilliant thing. Brilliant, brilliant thing. Check it out.
I'm trying to remember the name of our guest.
Which one?
That was then talking about it.
Nick Inger.
Nick Inger. Thank you very much for that.
Inge,
for reminding
actually.
My
it's
little...
Nick Inge. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be Inge.
No, it's Inge.
It depends where you come from.
Man, he spent a long time... He said it's Inge without a H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but it was a long time ago. It was before Christmas. I can't remember things like that now.
Yeah, yeah. Martin Reeves, Collector's Bridie, has been on. Said, could he have a shout-out? Martin from Collector's _Buddies, his Twitter handle. Martin buys stuff, collectibles, off of eBay and Etsy and places like that, and then resells it and donates the money to charities.
It's a lovely idea, isn't it?
It's a brilliant idea.
So if you've got any collectibles that you'd like to give to Martin...
Yeah,
for charity, if you're up
Absolutely.
In your loft having a search.
What Martin needs is a bit of sponsorship, though, because he does this full-time and he doesn't earn any money, and he needs to earn a bit of money while he's doing it, because that's only fair.
Yeah.
But he's doing really well. If you look at his Twitter timeline, what he's bought and sold just recently, and he donates all the money, every single penny goes to lots of local charities. So,
you know,
so give him a follow.
We were going to talk about the... The Grand Hotel in Folkestone. Have we got time?
I'll tell you what. There's a bit to say about that. I'm going to have a bit of a rant about that.
Remind me in the aftermath of the show then.
No. We'll talk about it. But first and foremost, I want to play the cheesy tunage, and then I want to start talking to Chris.
Chris Dodds.
Yeah.
Where we could get some sense out of Chris Dodds.
Where the show could actually, you know, become something useful and listenable.
Like the Business Bunker.
Well, yeah, but without all the nonsense. Before it.
Without you and me, basically.
Exactly.
Chris Dodds.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah. Just the Chris Dodds show.
Chris Dodds show, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Just quickly, Chips and Dinks, lovely Bev and Tony. For all of you like us who have struggled to get back into things after the Christmas break, wakey wakey, the Business Bunker is back. Helping small business owners with small business advice and supporting the small businesses of the South East. Well, thank you, Bev. That's very lovely of you to say so. I've got dozens more tweets. We'll read some more in a minute. But right now it's that time where we're going to play some cheesy tunage. Now then, you will not know what this is, guaranteed.
Somebody on a piano.
Yeah, I'll even tell you
it
the
artist. It sounds very old. It sounds like 60s.
I'll tell you the artist. I've never heard of her. It's Lucy May.
Never heard of her?
No.
She may what?
Well, she may finish this song.
It's very nice. Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of thing I'd have in the evening with a little sherry by the fire. I play this.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It gets a bit racier. It's called Counting the Days.
Oh,
you see what I did there?
I do.
It's called Counting the Days.
Can we hear the racy bit now?
No. There's no trick that I could ever pull. You could see right through me. So many things I still wish I could say, but fate pushed us separate ways. This is why I love you every day. This is why I can't let go, no way. This is why I cry, even though I know it's been some time. I'm still counting the I pray to the
your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Ah, welcome back. Sorry about that. We needed a comfort break.
Well, I was fine. I was, you know, I like being at the helm, as you know.
Oh, she completely rearranged my desk.
Well, the mouse was on a very different place to where I keep it.
She moved everything into a different place, so now I can't find anything.
I did some Amazon shopping on your phone. It was
she
lovely.
She did, and then she pressed the button that didn't work.
Yeah, but there you go. That's par for the course.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read, before we speak to Chris Dodds, that an estate agent, Miles & Barr, has sorted out a move of its own.
Oh, yeah, they've moved from Sandwich, haven't they?
Exactly. Yeah. The firm moved into new headquarters, and the property business has moved out of Sandwich's Discovery Park, and it's moved into closer to me, actually, refurbished office at the Links on the Herne Business Park near Herne Bay. Now, as you know, that makes me a bit uppity because, of course, Links. The Links used golf course.
Oh, I see Links. I thought you meant Links as in Sprite.
Oh, that's why you were doing that. I thought you had arm ache.
Yeah.
It used to be a lovely golf course. It's now a housing estate, which is quite sad. Mm. And we are building on our green spaces, which upsets me. But well done to them. The site will, we won't take it personally, will be able to accommodate more than 100 employees, so they're getting huge, and will provide a base to around a third of its workforce. And Mark Brooks, who's the CEO at Miles & Barr, has said from the creation of a breakout collaborative meeting areas in the Mind Garden, to a communal hub in our kitchen with a bistro dining area, Paul Andrews, we've created a working environment that engages our staff but also gives them a chance to make a break to rejuvenate. They could have had a round of golf if they'd have kept the golf course.
They could have done, yeah.
The Mind Garden features picnic tables and fake grass.
Oh, AstroTurf.
Inside the building to provide meeting space. So I think the fake grass is inside, so that's all right. I suppose they hoover it.
Yeah, well, you can have a little picnic. So that's a nice way of having a meeting, isn't it? Instead of going in a meeting room, you get a towel and spread it on your fake grass. And
I'm not sure, though, that plastic is very good for your inhaling.
We'd have to get...
To make it
authentic, we'd have to get little plastic wasps and stuff as well, wouldn't we?
You could, couldn't you? And of course, you could get a little lawnmower that doesn't really mow it, but you could pretend.
Don't mention lawnmowers.
Oh, what's happened?
You mentioned it once this morning, and you're going to regret it when you come across your timeline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you posted, why don't you tweet us? And somebody with a lawnmower business tweeted, except they went on a bit of a rant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the last time I looked, they were up to tweet number 5 in the thread.
Ranting at me?
No, about lawnmowers.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
No, you can read it in a minute.
I will, yeah. I mean, my timeline's always full of people ranting, but usually about AstraZeneca.
No, but this is for a shout-out.
Oh, okay.
They were asking for a shout-out, and then they gave us a full description of what's been happening to their business.
Is it someone we know?
No, well, I haven't spoken to them before.
Because we've had quite a lot of new followers, haven't we?
Yeah, I hadn't ever spoken. They're a business based in Harwichshire.
Okay. I would love to talk to Chris Dodds now about what's been happening.
It would make enormous sense, wouldn't it, to introduce some calm and sensible discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen, bunker listeners,
it's
the Chris Dodds Show.
Exactly.
With Chris Dodds,
surprisingly. Chris, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being so patient and so understanding.
I was enjoying that, listening to you.
He's Chris, the only one.
yeah, there's no listeners. We've got not that two again. Thank you for joining us, Chris. Chris is with Beresford's Accountants. So, Chris, let's kick off by just giving us a quick overview of Beresford's as an organisation. You know, how long has it been around, roughly? Where is it based? What's its kind of marketplace? And then what your role is within Beresford's, and then we'll move from there.
Okay. Thanks very much, Paul. So Beresford's is 25 years old, 25-year-old firm. So we're quite well established in Folkestone, right. is where our office is.
Oh, I love Folkestone.
It's fantastic.
That brings us on to another subject after.
Yeah.
And getting better all the time.
Yeah. Regeneration.
Folkestone has changed that of all recognition over the last couple of years. And it was always a lovely place anyway, with some gorgeous buildings there. But for a long time, it had been let to go, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But but for the last few years, it's been undergoing a massive
creative quarter.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. And blessed old Pete DeHaan's been investing a bit of his filthy lucre in the place, hasn't he? Which is good.
A little bit, I think. Yeah. Pocket change.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff he found down.
So is that Roger DeHaan's son?
Huh?
Is that Roger DeHaan's son, Pete?
Sorry, I meant Roger. Pete's his brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are they twins?
No, they're not. No, it's just I knew Peter really well, but and Roger not so much. So I always think of Peter rather than Roger.
So are they both sort of investors in Folkestone?
There.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to the Chris Dodds show.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
As we were, Chris Dodds.
Yeah, so we're a sort of what you, I suppose, describe as a typical medium-sized firm.
Yeah.
So we've got nearly 30 employees now.
Okay.
With the recent acquisition that we've made, which I'm sure
we'll talk about in a moment.
In a little while. So we do everything really, from sort of individual tax returns right through to company audits and everything in between. So what I described as a sort of typical medium-sized firm.
Right. Just while we're talking about that, because it's something that I'm asked as someone that's been in business a long time, and people ask me these daft questions as if I should know the answer. Can you just explain to us, for a limited, we'll stick to limited companies at the moment, for a limited company, what are the services? If people get confused about this. They go, well, I don't need an accountant, I can do my own adding up, which may or may not be true. But basically, can you just highlight the functions that an accountancy firm provides to a limited company, or can provide?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So With a limited company over a sole trade or a partnership, you have responsibilities to report to organisations, companies, house, and obviously HMRC.
Yeah.
And those, you have to report in a specific way.
Mm.
So it's probably something that's over and above the capability of a business owner, as opposed to a sole trader who can sort of add up their income, add up their expenses and chuck it on a tax return and file it themselves. So these, you do have sort of compliance issues around limited companies.
Yeah, because they've invented a new one in the last couple of years as well, haven't they, which is this people of significance in a business, whatever they call it.
Yeah, person of significant control.
Yeah,
what does that mean, Chris?
Well, you have to basically conform to a number of criteria to be a PSC.
Yeah.
So, forget off the top of my head, but it's something like over 51% of the shareholdings have to be a director of the firm. So,
So what it is HMRC decided that there were people floating around that had control of companies but fell outside of their normal who's got control of a company. And you see that, like a lot of things that HMRC do, it's done in response to things that are a bit dodgy. But, of course, then it affects the rest of us, yeah? So what would happen is a company would go bust and the previous directors would, like, sign it over to their partner, in name only, but would still be running the company. So person of significant control was to try and find these people that were actually controlling businesses, even though they weren't on the director's list or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So medium-sized business, 25 years, 30 employees. And you've been up to things, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah.
You've been up to things.
It's been a roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, let's talk about some of the strategies and some of the things that and operational things you've done already, and where you're kind of heading with this, because you've been buying up business.
Busy, So, really, it started sort of back in March of 21. Mm. We purchased a sort of smallish block of fees from McIntyre Hudson, who are sort of national firm, who'd identified a number of clients that perhaps didn't fit their own business profile. And we bought those. And then in April, we did quite a brave thing, I suppose, in the circumstance, and that was we bought our own building, which a lot of firms were kind of coming out of buildings because of lockdowns and things like that. So it was quite a brave decision, I think.
What kind of building, Chris?
So we've bought a commercial unit, which was a pure commercial unit with a roller shutter, but we sort of
Made it look swanky.
We've made it nice, really nice.
Have you got plastic grass inside?
We haven't got plastic grass.
I'm so relieved.
Come on, you need to get on the plastic grass.
I'll float that to the other partners and see how we get on with that.
I personally think it's a great idea to buy a building. I've never understood the rental thing.
No, no. I'm going to say we'd been in our old office for sort of circa 20 years. You know, just paying rent after rent after rent. Yeah.
And not owning anything.
Absolutely. And the lease was up and the time sort of felt right. We just... One partner had just retired, and myself and another partner had just come in, and the time seemed right to kind of invest in that. You know, and we've set ourselves now probably for the next, hopefully next sort of 10 or 15 years.
Now I agree totally with Jules. I think
for once,
I mean, just looking at the commercial property market, the difficulty in the market are those people on trapped on leases, and I'm one of them in one of my businesses. I have a lease on a 6,000 square foot building in Maidstone. It's a 20-year lease. There's 4 years left on the lease, and sadly, I've had to let most of my staff go. I've now got two people working in a 6,000 square foot building, and the landlord won't let me out of the lease. So, you know, I've got to pay for 4 years for a building I don't need. So, from that point of view, it's a pain. If you own the freehold, the worst case scenario is you sell the freehold, don't you?
Or you do something else with it.
Or you do something else with it, or you sublet it, or you know, you make, or what everybody else does, turn it into flats.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so that's a good move. That's a good move to buy your own building, but I want to kind of focus a little bit, if I may, Chris, on the acquisition that you've made. I mean, you might not want to tell us on the radio. Do you think you're going to make more acquisitions?
We've actually already got one in the pipeline, which should conclude. Well, the deal's been signed on the 31st of March, so you know. But that was just, you know, going back to March 21. That was the first tranche, and then in December, you know, just gone the 1st of December, we actually effectively bought the small business unit of McIntyre Hudson. So additional to that first block, we concluded on the deal to buy that, which meant chipping over a number of staff.
Sure.
From McIntyre Hudson, as well as the partner that was in charge of that unit. So
I'm fascinated by the process, if you don't mind me talking about it. I mean, I'm assuming this is kind of the first time you've done anything like this within Beresford's.
Yeah, well, we've done small stuff, you know, very sort of one-man band retiring, you know, just getting rid of their sort of client base, but nothing on this scale.
So, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, what inspired you? Was it something you've said, right, we need to go out and do this, we need to find someone, and then you looked around the market and went, well, have you, kind of thing? Or was it an opportunity that sprung up and you went, oh, that could be interesting?
Yeah, well, the first block, which obviously led on to the second block, was done through a broker. Right. So, you know, we could bundle up a block of fees, put it to a broker, and other accountants would kind of throw their hat in the ring to pitch for that block of fees. You know, and it's not all about money, and I think, you know, had we had a McIntyre Hudson partner on here, they'd say the same. You know, it's about finding the best fit for the block of clients that you're going to give away or sell. And that, you know, we had our hat in the ring with several other firms on that first block, and thankfully they came to us and said, yeah, you know, you're the profile of firm that we think will suit our clients the best. And then obviously the second block came as a result of that first block. We'd had a good, you know, we had a good relationship. We developed a relationship after that first block. And we've got a kind of relationship with a partner that was in Canterbury, and, you know, we worked closely with them on that first block, and it kind of came to a point where it was reasonably obvious that they were perhaps looking to restructure their business, and the small business division would be one that kind of was up for grabs, and we discussed it, and that's how the deal came.
Right, okay. And in general, you know, I don't need you to go into, unless you want to, of course, into minute detail, but how did you find the acquisition process? Was it quick? Was it slow? Was it drawn out? Was there a lot of paperwork? Was there a lot of due diligence? The reason I'm asking is a lot of our listeners will be thinking about, you know, how do I expand my business? A lot of our listeners will be thinking about, how do I sell my business? And whilst they may not all be accountants or in that business, you know, the processes are very similar, and the thinking and the work behind something like that is of interest. So from your point of view, as a partner of Beresford's, how did you find the processes, I guess, what I'm asking you?
Yeah, so there's two different scenarios. The first block, where we had no real relationship with the clients, that's always the big risk.
Yeah.
Is you buy the block of fees, and while you work into the deal, a sort of runoff effectively of clients that leave, you know, within a certain period, which I think in our case was a year. the risk is always, are the clients that you've bought going to stay with you? They don't have a relationship with you. And as you know, probably, Paul, you know, you want a relationship with your accountant. We are in a relationship business, effectively.
Because it's interesting. In the past, when I've bought and sold businesses, which I haven't done very often, but when I have, I bought a business that had contracts in place.
Right.
Yeah, so that you knew that you were buying something that was an asset and was going to stay an asset for at least the length of the contract. With a client relationship like an accountant, there is no contract.
No.
If you go, right, you've been bought by Beresford's, and they go, not that Chris Dodd bloke, no, I'm not going with him. they can walk away.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is the risk.
Yeah,
and that is the risk. But I think what helped us was that, you know, McIntyre Hudson had bought a lot of other smaller firms, and the clients were used to a smaller firm environment.
Yeah.
And when they actually went to a national firm, they perhaps didn't get the service that they wanted.
Yeah.
And I think McIntyre Hudson identified
recognized that, absolutely. Of course,
and that's why they bundled this block together.
It makes absolute sense, doesn't it? You know, a big firm like that goes, well, you know, we haven't got the time or the patience to deal with lots of silly questions from silly little small businesses. They don't say it in those terms, obviously, but you know, and without being funny, a firm that size, their fees will be quite high. Mm-hmm. So for a smaller business, they're going, hold on a minute. I've got this massive impersonal corporate now looking after my accounts. I don't know anyone there. They're quite expensive. Why do I want to be with them? Mm. So it's probably a wise move to have done the job for them, if you like, that said, don't worry, we'll find you an accountant, effectively, that will suit you.
And McIntyre Hudson, you know, did exactly that, wrote to the clients and said, you know, this is the firm we've identified as the firm that we think will fit you best. The second sort of block, the small business unit, was obviously slightly different because we took the staff as well.
Yeah.
So there was that kind of inherent relationship with the clients.
Relationship carried on. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay.
And you're thinking about carrying on this strategy. You've got another potential deal in the pipeline, which is interesting. So global domination then, Chris?
Well, arguably. I'll be sitting here, bring my cat in and sort of stroke it.
Exactly. Yeah. You need a haircut like mine. So at the moment, though, you're still a fairly much a Kent-based organisation.
Yeah.
But your clients are all round UK?
Absolutely, yeah.
Global, any global yet?
We've got some clients who live in France, but obviously
they
have to return their affairs in the UK because they've got affairs.
Now, that's interesting. I'll talk to you about that. Yeah. I'm having problems with that at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What, living in France?
Not me, one of my employees.
Okay, yeah, I know the one.
Yeah, he went to France and then they locked them down so he couldn't get back. But what he does can be done remotely. So he continued to work for us. But now HMRC and the French don't like that.
Right.
Yeah, they go, no, you can't do that. Oh, why? No, you can't, because he lives in France, but you're paying him in England. Yeah, well, he works for me in England.
Do you pay him in euros?
No. Pay him in pounds, but no, apparently... They don't like it because they said, well, no, he's permanently based in France. You go, yeah, but only because you made him be permanent based in France because you won't let him come home.
Yeah,
exactly. Because all the travel shut down.
And when he did try and come home, he had to stay in for
a month.
10 days or something and couldn't see anybody.
Yeah, so, no, we'll talk about it now because we've already talked about it. So the problem is that HMRC go, he shouldn't really be working in the UK. He should be being paid in France. And the French authorities go, no, if he's going to work here, you've got to open a business in France. So it's a bit of a nightmare.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Well, a lot of people have, I know loads of people that are working, for example, IFF Kitchen. He's the CEO's working in Ibiza, living in Ibiza, gave up on the UK. And a lot of them have gone off to Dubai, haven't they?
Yeah.
Open businesses in Dubai.
There's digital nomads. People, you know, especially these days, people can work anywhere. Mm. Yeah. What it depends on, as far as I can see, is the fact that you can only do that and get paid in your mother country, for want of a better word, if you come back within specified times, depending on which country you're in. Yeah. So with France, for instance, you have to come back within 90 days. If you come back for one day within 90 days, it's fine. The problem has arisen with this is because they wouldn't let him come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of businesses, business people I know that live in Belgium, for example, as well. Yeah. And as I said, Dubai is becoming huge.
But but again, it all depends how they work. If they're registered locally as self-employed or with their own business, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
Yeah. No. The problem arises is when they work for a business in one country and are paid in that country, but are resident in a different country.
Mm.
That's the problem.
Well, France love a bit of red tape, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's everyone. It's not just France happens to be the protagonist in this particular case, but it's fairly much the same wherever you try and deal with this, because what it is, you know, not surprisingly, the host country are going, well, hold on a minute, you live here, you use all of our resources, you drive up and down our roads, and you don't pay any tax here at all. You pay it all to bloody Boris, who then spaffs it on garden parties. Oh, did I just say that?
Oh, but they did bring their own booze, Paul Andrews.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they did bring their own booze.
Yeah.
Like the old American supper, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love an American supper.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff. So, your clients are kind of based all around the UK and one or two overseas, but you're based in the southeast primarily in Folkestone. Do you have any other offices?
Yes, we do have an office in Ashford. We've got an office manager who runs that office. It's a small office here, and our office is main office in Folkestone, and we also have one in Cheriton, which deals with it's largely a payroll bureau and deals with a lot of the very smaller clients.
Okay, yeah. I was going to move on to that and ask you the kind of services you offer like that. You do payroll for people and bookkeeping and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, coming back to the question I asked you right at the start of this was about the kind of services that accountants offer. Sometimes with people in business, they can get confused over these things. They go, yeah, well, I don't use an accountant. I use, a payroll service. And you go, well, that's fine. They do the payroll. Mm. But you still need an accountant to do your end of year finances, do I?
Yeah.
You know, can't payroll people do it? No. So, as a firm, where do you think you're strategically going to go with this? Is this acquisition trail something you're going to continue, do you think? Or is it something that you'll look at if the right opportunity springs up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has to be the right opportunity.
Yeah.
We're a three, now four partner firm. Right. So it's something that we discuss. And, you know, there are offers around all the time. I think the way that, you know, HMRC are going with things like Making Tax Digital. Mm. There are probably quite a few, I don't want to say it's older accountants out there who are probably thinking, you know, this just isn't anymore.
Don't need this technical nonsense.
There might be odd sort of blocks of fees, coming along quite regularly.
It's very true, isn't it? I mean, because accountancy, to a greater extent than other businesses, has been dramatically moved, disrupted, if you want, by things like Xero and ClearBooks and online accounting packages. I guess you guys are involved with online accounting packages. Gary Turner, who was the founder of Xero, has been a guest on the show here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was interesting, talking about his background and where he came from. In fact, I can't remember his name. Sorry. The guy that invented ClearBooks has also been a guest on the show.
Okay.
All of those kind of things have moved accountancy as a profession into the realm of digital. Yeah. My background is in banking technology, and we went through this in the 80s when, you know, banking suddenly became a branch of computing, effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need people. Everything's, you know, computerized, and now the customers do their own banking, so we don't need branches and all that kind of stuff. There's some moot points in all of that, and whilst my background is in technology, I'm not a massive fan of some of the technical implementations. I'm talking about you, HSBC. nightmare. One of my problems with technology in these things is we don't have enough human interaction with it. Yeah, people automate it and then walk away from it. And then when it goes wrong, there's no way of going back in and fixing it. So that's something that we need to look at. But overall, accountancy, like banking in the past, has now moved on and is becoming a much more digitally orientated thing.
It has, yeah.
And you're quite right. I mean, not only have you got cloud-based accounting systems, HMRC themselves have got Making Tax Digital, so everything has to be reported online. We've got, for those of you that deal with the European Union and VAT. Why not stick pins in your eyes? You've got VAT MOS and all that kind of stuff where you've got to try and work out who the hell you're charging the VAT to, which is a laugh. Just for those that don't know, the EU have a scheme now. If you sell services into the EU, or digital services, the VAT has to be applied to the buyer in the country that they are resident in that they're going to buy it for, rather than what used to happen, which is you apply VAT in your country and then sold it to them. And it's interesting because my question, my thing on this is always, if I'm Belgian and I'm on the channel, I'm on the shuttle and I'm halfway across the channel and I press buy on a piece of software that I'm going to use in my home in Germany, although I'm Belgian and I bought it in the middle of the English Channel, what's the VAT? But there is a system for it, isn't there, which is VAT MOS, which is the HMRC system in which it's supposed to work this out, but blimey, it's complicated. So yeah, it's becoming digital.
Yeah, it's double-edged sword though, like with all these things, because everyone's an accountant. You know, you put zero in front of them, or QuickBooks, or whatever, you know, platform they want to use, and everyone's an accountant.
Yeah.
A bit like with Google.
Except me.
Everyone's a doctor.
I personally hate accounts, and I just lob it all onto my accountant, and they do it, and I absolutely hate it, and they have to nag me to even read their emails.
Are you a shoebox type of person?
I would be, quite easily. Elastic band and shoebox, yeah. But they've curbed me of that.
A shoebox, an upgrade from the carrier bag, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we did have that lovely guest. Do you remember, about a year ago, we've had him on a couple of times, where you just send it all to him in the shoebox for a flat rate. I liked that appeal. You know, because now we can just copy a receipt, can't we?
Well, that's okay if you're small enough. You know, once you get a bit bigger, you need half a dozen black
shoeboxes.
Sacks. Here's my accounts. I've just got a lorry backing up with all my black sacks in.
Because now a lot of the receipts and that are digital anyway, aren't they?
I don't
have little bits of paper.
I love that.
And of course, with COVID, you don't want to take a receipt. And if somebody says, do you want your receipt? I go, no, email it to me now.
I just love all that. When you try and do anything still, and people have still got these old processes that says we need three bills. There was one particular bank I was talking to. They said, right, we need three bills that prove your identity, but you can't print them from the internet. They have to be sent to you in a letter. I went, the only person that's ever written to me is you.
Yeah.
And they went, no, you can't use ours. It's bonkers. Anyway, enough of that. Chris, it sounds like Beresford's are going from strength to strength, and you're growing a very attractive business in Kent. Your strategy is to continue to do that, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. Stay with us for the rest of the show.
Yeah, cool.
Just give us a quick shout out. So if people want to find out more about Beresford, or if they want to flog their accountancy to you, or whatever, what's your website so that they can come and have a look at you?
So it's www.beresfordsaccountants.com.
Fantastic. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, so do check that out. Sweet. For the moment, Chris, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. For the moment, Chris Dodds of Beresford's Accountants.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes.
We've got 10 minutes before we go to the newsroom, and then we're going to speak to Zoe after that.
Okay. Shall we talk about the Folkestone report?
Well, I'll do that quickly.
Because Chris has been on. You see, I see a link between Chris Dodd and... Is it Dodd or Dodds?
Dodd. Yeah,
Dodd. Nice. Okay. There's not two of you, because we know a Joe Dodds, you see.
Yes. I know Joe.
You know Joe. Yeah. Everybody knows Joe.
Yeah.
But
she's famous, you know.
Folkestone. She's the famous Joe Dodds.
She's known as the famous Joe Dodds.
Yeah, exactly. But Folkestone... Do you live in Folkestone? Or?
Well, Hawkinge.
Yeah, same kind of thing, just as you approach.
Hold on. It's Hawkinge Account Central, so my accountant lives in Hawkinge as well.
There's a whole row of them.
Yeah. There's a housing estate there that says these can only be bought by accountants.
I don't think Chris lives on a housing estate.
No, that was euphemistic. You know, it's obviously a development.
I don't think he's got plastic grass.
No, it's a development. It's an executive development.
I think he's got a real lawnmower.
It's like Brookside.
Yeah. No, not like Brookside. Yeah. Anyway, what I was saying was I've loved Folkestone during the lockdown, where we've all started walking everywhere, and living in Whitstable, I had to get out of Whitstable because it's just ram-packed and so crowded. And I've been doing Deal, where else have I been doing? Folkestone. And I love the creative quarter. I think it's very clever what they're doing there. And you've got individual shops, you've got There's a really nice Italian there. So you know where you go under the creative quarter? I've got a new rescue greyhound, a bit of a handful, can't leave her. There's an Italian restaurant on the right and they allow dogs.
Yes.
And the waitress said, is she all right? And I said, yeah, she's fine. And she put the meatballs on the table and the dog whipped them off the table, which was not good because they're very tall. But I love the creative quarter. I think that's clever. And what they're doing with the little railway bit there with the markets, do those markets go on all the time, do you know? Because before Christmas, they were there at weekends.
Yeah, they were there at weekends.
Is that an ongoing Christmas thing? Market,
but they are developing the harbour arm and they are... You know, there is getting more and more businesses down there, sort of eateries and cafes.
Fabulous. And I went there as well. They had Boogie Woogie playing. I mean, this was freezing, you know, December. Boogie Woogie playing, it was great. So I think Folkestone is going to happen. It's going to be a smaller Brighton, possibly. You've got all the little lanes. And so have we got time to talk about the...
If you let me get a word in edgewise.
So a beautiful hotel, the Grand, on the seafront.
I'm going to tell you what I've found out so far, and I'm not... I don't want to be overly aggressive about this because I may not have got the story entirely right because I had to dig this out, okay?
Mm.
But this is my understanding of what happened to the Grand Hotel.
It went up for sale with Barn Marcus, didn't it?
It went on the market because the people behind the hotel couldn't sustain it any longer. Yeah, like so many businesses during the lockdown, it killed their business.
Yeah.
It was always a bit of a struggle anyway. Some previous owners had sold off one of the floors as apartments anyway.
Yeah.
So there were people living in the top of the hotel that had apartments in the hotel. So there weren't actually many hotel rooms, if any, I think. I don't even know if they...
There
weren't many, though.
No, there were some really lovely ones right at the top with beautiful views, you know, very of the time.
Yeah.
Suites, actually, at the top.
But a lot of them were sold off privately.
Residents.
Apartments. Mm. So primarily its business was events, wedding venue, events, you know, ballrooms, restaurants, okay? But it couldn't sustain itself during the lockdown and it was put on the market. Okay. Now, my understanding was that a property development company bid for it. They bid £480,000 for it at auction and won the bid.
Yeah.
Okay. And their idea was to buy it and completely refurbish it.
It's an Edwardian Grade 2, isn't it, listed?
This is where it all falls apart, literally. It turns out there was a caveat that said that the people that owned the leases on the apartments were allowed to match bid whoever was going to buy it. So they did. They put in a bid of £480,000 and bought the hotel. Okay? There's a little bit of a problem with that. It needs £15 million spent on it to stop it falling down.
It's been allowed to disintegrate and get ruined and not looked after.
Yeah.
Are there any heritage grants?
Well, hold on. Before you go there, this is what annoys me when people do these things without looking.
Without thinking.
Without thinking about what they're doing. They go, oh, we could buy it. We could afford £480,000. No due diligence. No look at it.
No
how much is it going to cost. It's a Grade 1 listed building, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to cost a fortune to maintain at the best of times. But it needs at least 15 million quid spent on putting it into an order that it doesn't fall down.
So the owners have now closed it as a business.
Well, it was closed anyway.
Because of lockdown and all that stuff. But they have now...
They're not opening it,
There was a beautiful bar there,
They've
rented out as a flat, apparently.
Yeah. It's closed. It's boarded up. It's uninhabitable, apart from the people that live there. And they haven't got the money to refurbish it. So now they have to go to the council or heritage funds and go, you know, could we have 15 million quid to refurbish our homes, please?
Yeah.
And I'm just really annoyed. And I might be wrong. I've tried to investigate this and it's not the easiest thing to investigate. This is, you know, I've been told this by various people who I trust. So there may be other parts to the story. I don't know. I don't want to have a go at people if I haven't got the whole story right. But From my mind, there was somebody that was prepared to do it and use their own money to do it, and somebody else stopped them doing it, and that was dumb. And that's my only take on it. Is
there was a lower bid for it, wasn't it, that wasn't accepted? It was about the 200 and something mark. Are you up on this, Chris?
Not really, no.
Did you ever drink in the Keppel's bar at the Grand?
I was at a networking event every Friday
there
at the Grand.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? I took a networking event there, Slope of Friday, and when we went, they had log fires, we had a pianist playing, beautiful food.
I used to do careers fairs there.
Yeah.
In fact, the very last careers fair we did before lockdown was at the Grand.
The thing is, with what we were saying about what's happening with Folkestone and the renaissance and the arrival of the staycation and people spending a lot more time at the UK seaside resorts, we need a seafront beautiful hotel with dining. You know, we don't need flats.
It's a gorgeous building in a gorgeous location.
Yeah, seafront.
It will be an absolute travesty to let that place.
What other hotels are there?
Oh, there's loads.
Are there?
Well, Dan's place is next door, isn't it?
Yeah, Dan San Giuseppe.
Dan San Giuseppe's place is next door to Burlington, which is also a gorgeous hotel. Only that one's standing up. So it's not that you need a hotel, it's the building itself, as far as I'm concerned.
But you do need a hotel, because if you're going to get more Londoners and DFLs
But
Americans...
That's a secondary issue, as far as I'm concerned. The biggest... Because you could demolish it cheaper and put up a Premier Inn lodge if all you wanted was hotel rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about the hotel rooms.
It's the heritage.
The fact that it's a gorgeous Edwardian building in a fantastic location, looking at France, going, hello, France.
Beresford's could have done that, couldn't they? They could have bought it and had a little office at the top and the rooftop.
And restored it, yeah. So I hope something does happen to get it restored. I mean, that's the end game. It's just, how we got to where we got to is a bit daft.
Well, we were in Cliftonville recently, last weekend, and, it's still a bit, needs a bit of TLC, but of course Margate won all that money, didn't they? How much did they get? It was millions Margate got. Yeah. Did anybody know?
I don't know, but,
tweet us.
I mean, Folkestone itself has been regenerating for ages now, and it's a completely radically different place to what it was 20 years
What's
ago.
What's the travel to London? It's 50, under 50?
Yeah, under 50. Yeah.
It's quicker than Whitstable, which is rammed.
Again, it's like a lot of the Kent coast has been vastly improved by HS1, by the high speed train.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's made it accessible to London. So now you can commute from there. And that's the big deal, isn't it? Anyway, listen, we need to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Hey, what's going on?
When we come back, we might actually read some of the tweets that we've got, because we've got hundreds, and you're not reading them, Jules, and I haven't even started on my emails
yet. It's been much more interesting just chatting to Chris and you.
You just keep talking.
I haven't seen you for months.
Yeah.
Since December.
Exactly. So we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, but more than any of that, we're going to talk to the fabulous, the gorgeous, the lovely...
The guru.
The genius that is Zoe Cairns.
Social media.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything. But for the moment, let's have the Channel Radio News.
What's going on? I'd like to know.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.